From Tidbits on July 4th, 2016, this is iFi Demonstrates the Danger of Cloud-Dependent Hardware, written by Glenn Fleischman. Are you concerned about the long-term viability of devices that fall under the loose notion of the Internet of Things, IoT, in which a cloud connection is required to keep devices functioning? If so, a move by iFi, which makes SD cards that can automatically transfer newly taken photos to a cloud service, should give you pause. It sure did for me. In September 2016, the company will discontinue support for features and web apps for every model of card it shipped from its launch in 2007 up to the X2 models introduced in 2011 and sold through retail channels until March 2015. Only its Mobi line, introduced in 2013, will retain active support. iFi said in an email to customers that the impetus for this move is the obsolescence of, quote, internet security and authentication mechanisms that were state-of-the-art in 2007 when we built them into our products, but has since proven to be vulnerable, end of quote. Because these are hardware problems, the company can't just release firmware upgrades. I have long been dubious about devices that require the continuous operation of internet-connected services to function. I don't expect relatively inexpensive hardware to remain useful and work forever, of course, but while iFi says it began to phase out the last products that are affected starting in 2012, it allowed them to remain in retail sales channels until March 2015. The company should have taken more ownership of the situation around products sold in the last 5 years. I've owned 3 iFi cards, starting with the original model, and I used them extensively for a few years. However, when memory card capacity dropped in price, I stopped worrying about filling up a card. I found some of iFi's features awkward for my non-professional purposes and would instead transfer images by card to an iPad or Mac and then sync or upload the ones I needed. As a result, I never purchased a new enough iFi to feel like this end-of-life policy is unfair. I've lost track of one of my iFi cards and sent another to Tidbits managing editor Josh Centers, who was unable to get it to work. I have no horse in this particular race. Bye-bye, most iFi. iFi's cards are tiny network computers that fit into the SD card format. Because there's no physical interface, you must connect them to a network for configuration. Earlier models and firmware can be configured via computer as well as when plugged into a card reader. Later ones switch to full-on cloud support to change any setting. The cards would then automatically connect to configured networks, including those that required a password. You could then turn on a feature called Endless Storage, which automatically deleted photos from the card after it confirmed that iFi's servers had received the files. iFi's X2 series, which debuted in 2010, added direct mode in 2011, which turned the card into a tiny hotspot, enabling iOS and Android devices to connect using apps, making it easier to review and selectively upload photos. iFi later added geotagging to some X2 models using Wi-Fi positioning to estimate the location when photos were synced. Incidentally, the market position for iFi exists only because Wi-Fi support in cameras is so terrible, something I've written about for years and years and years. On September 16th, 2016, when iFi plans to pull the plug, affected cards will continue to work, but in an extremely limited mode. All kinds of things will break or be in an indeterminate state. Cards will stop connecting to iFi Center, the company's web app for managing and sharing photos. iFi will migrate files for active paid users to its new iFi cloud system free of charge, however. Relayed uploads, geotagging, and direct FTP transfers will stop working. Account notifications about uploads and other issues will halt. iFi mobile and desktop apps will no longer be updated. Wi-Fi hotspot and base station connections may work, but if they don't, there's no way to fix them. iFi says that owners can configure their cards before the cutoff date to use selective transfers, which lets you use a camera interface to mark which photos to upload, and the mini hotspot direct mode. But then those options can never be changed later. Direct mode isn't guaranteed to keep working either. As recompense for removing these features, iFi is offering a paltry 20% discount for up to 3 cards purchased directly from its website until September 15th, 2016. This is chintzy, even though the company described it as a deep discount. First, hardware makers often have hard costs that are only half a product's retail price. A 1-for-1 50% discount should have been the starting point for people who bought X2 products. Second, anyone who purchased an X2 in the last 5 years that was still functional should have been offered a mail-in 100% swap for the lowest-end Mobi model. iFi has tarnished its reputation far more than the cost of swapping out what is likely a relatively small number of cards. It's hard to know how much these policies would cost the privately held company. It has never disclosed sales figures. But generally, only a fraction of owners take advantage of trade-ins, making a generous offer more affordable than it might seem and engendering significant goodwill along with future hardware purchases and recurring subscription fees. The danger of living in the cloud. iFi isn't the first and won't be the last cautionary tale. A few months ago, Alphabet-owned Nest announced that it would shut down service for Revolve, a $300 hub for smart home devices. Nest bought Revolve in October 2014 and stopped selling new models, but continued to support the product. In April 2016, Nest said it would brick the Revolve on May 16, 2016. It used more polite language, making the device worthless within about 2 years of release. The response from owners and unrelated parties alike was negative. Nest suffered from internal dissension and malaise, and its head, former Apple exec Tony Fadell, left his position just months later. Within a few weeks of the April announcement, Nest pushed the shutdown to June 19th and offered full refunds to owners who contacted the company. Nest also suffered from outages in November 2015 and January 2016, as well as an automatically pushed software upgrade that resulted in some owners being unable to control the temperature. Many lesser-known and less expensive IoT devices, which can include home routers and video streaming boxes, stop receiving firmware upgrades and remain insecure or stop working consistently. This kind of routine behavior receives much less attention. The Federal Trade Commission has expressed ongoing concern about the security of IoT devices and settled an action against Asus in 2016 based on a hack in 2014 for misrepresentation in its marketing. But the FTC can typically intervene only if a company engages in deceptive or unfair practices. If a company doesn't promise support for a particular length of time, the FTC has little to no power to engage. iFi doesn't have the excuse of an acquisition or bankruptcy to justify dropping support for even its relatively recent cards. The company did sell the newer photo-sharing part of its business, iFi Cloud, to Ricoh, which will expand the service and continue to allow iFi Mobi customers to use it. But that's hardly an excuse. If supporting the X2 line for years longer was too much of a burden, swapping them out would have been a more prudent move. Let the cloud rain down software. iFi has been in business for almost a decade. Nest, now a division of Google's restructuring into the Alphabet Holding Company, is part of a group that's been around for over 15 years. If these companies can't manage a soft landing for a troubled IoT device, what about startups that have just a few months or years under their belts, haven't turned a profit, and have proprietary hardware and software? As Cory Doctorow noted in his Boing Boing post on this shutdown, the Internet of Things bubble is based on startups with 6 months to 1 year of runway making hardware with sub 2% margins if it's not being made at a loss, which is zero use if the company's server shuts down. The odds of most of these companies failing or being acquired and then shut down, like Revolve, are extremely high. It used to be that when you were an early adopter of hardware, the worst you experienced was a failure to get new drivers or updated apps for new releases of operating systems. Or you'd no longer be able to get parts, supplies, or repairs. Now early adopters are risking investing in an expensive brick. Whether you back a crowdfunding campaign or you buy from an established company, the risk seems about the same. There is something that could be done, and some companies are doing it. iFi could have eased the pain by releasing all the code necessary to allow configuration, whether through a user-run cloud service or locally run apps, under an open-source license. iFi is likely not using that code in a substantive way as it moves forward, or it would be able to continue supporting these older devices. A Seattle firm, Glowforge, has promised that when it ships its cloud-controlled 2D laser cutter, it will also release the product's firmware under a GPL license, which will allow what it calls an escape hatch if the company or product fails to continue to be viable. Disclosure, I have friends who co-founded and work at Glowforge. This is what happened with the Chumby line of hardware, an open development bedside clockish device that was well ahead of its time when its maker had to shut down. Releasing the code as open source won't make a difference unless some other party picks up the ball, but it's better than nothing. As more stories of stranded IoT devices stack up, companies may have to put more promises in place, including potentially escrowed funds to run basic services if they go under, to keep early adopters happy. Early adopters provide the funds and market excitement necessary for new products to succeed. For now, though, we ignore the lessons of iFi, Revolve, and others at our peril. If the Internet of Things is to be more than a flash in the pan, companies will have to acknowledge the full life cycle of their products, even when that continues beyond a firm's interest or even its demise. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Smile and ScanSnap. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Glenn Fleischman, and I will never be cloud-based.